welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Eric Parizeau. It's great to have you with us. This podcast is part of our integration of networking and security school, which you can visit at any time by visiting SearchSecurity.com/NetSec. Today we're going to play a little fact or fiction regarding how to layer security within your unified messaging architecture. Joining me today is John Burke, Principal Research Analyst with Nemertes Research. Thanks for being here, John.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, John, just to explain to our listeners how this works, I'll read several statements pertaining to the layering of security within a unified or converged messaging architecture, and you'll tell me if each statement is fact or fiction, and then explain why. So let's get started with the first one. Fact or fiction? Most compromises related to corporate unified messaging systems are theoretical or trivial.
That's fiction. The security flaws in and the compromises of things like VoIP gateways can and have already cost telecommunications companies, for example, hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars a year. And there's no reason to think that the reports that we have of how much they've lost are complete, so it's even higher than that. All these same compromises can be applied to enterprise VoIP gateways. And remember, too, that when we're talking about unified communications, we're talking about email and instant messaging as well. And there have been many compromises of enterprise systems via email and instant messaging over the years, and there will continue to be, either directly through compromise of mail servers like Exchange or clients like Outlook, or indirectly using email or instant messages as part of a multi-mode attack, you know, tricking the user to click on the link to take them to the tainted website kind of stuff.
All right, here's the next one. Fact or fiction, unified communications can be attacked at every layer in the network.
That is a fact. Starting all the way down at layer one, the physical layer, it is still possible for bad guys to insert inline devices that can sniff out keystrokes or packets passing across the network. You can still actually bug the microphone on a VoIP phone just like you can bug one on a real phone. Because it runs across the data network, unified communications are vulnerable to all the layer 2 and layer 3 attacks that every data network is open to, including denial of service and switch level compromises, breaking into routers, doing denial of service at the IP level. Moving up, though, unified communications are vulnerable to attacks on layer 5 at the session level, where you can do denial of service, you can do spoofing of traffic, you can do eavesdropping. At layer 6, some of the file formats that are involved in unified communications, MPEGs, MIMES, things like that, the software that manipulates those is vulnerable to compromise. And all the way up at layer 7, there are attacks on the applications that constitute the interfaces to unified communications, the soft phones, the real-time communications dashboards. So every level of the network, every level of the application stack, vulnerable.
John, just to maybe play devil's advocate with you for a minute, even though it is theoretically possible to attack every layer, not everyone is going to be as big of a threat as it might seem. Which ones today, just to set the baseline, should security pros spend the most time worrying about?
With respect to unified communications, pay attention to layer 2 when you're setting up your VoIP network on your enterprise campuses. Pay attention to locking down your network at the port level using a separate VLAN for the phones, that kind of thing. Pay attention to layers 3 and 4 as you already do with your firewall, with your intrusion detection system. Just make sure they're up to date for handling unified communications traffic. And then start paying attention at the layer 5, layer 7 part of the spectrum, layer 5, where you're watching the session protocols, SIP and SIMPLE, and making sure that they're not being abused or compromised, and layer 7, where you're paying attention to the application level protocols.
All right, here's the next statement. Fact or fiction, unified communications can be secured independently.
Alas, fiction. Unified communications ties together communications tools and enterprise applications at the server level and at the desktop level. So you need to have general network and platform security in place, antivirus, anti-spam, anti-malware generally, intrusion detection, firewalls, everything. You're sharing network infrastructure with the data network. And so your unified communications is vulnerable to attacks on that infrastructure, on routers, on switches. So you have to be exercising good security hygiene on the network itself, patching your router and configuring your switches to be as secure and hardened as possible. Typically, the only layer where you can do something independently would be looking at SIP and SIMPLE or at specific real-time communications dashboards or other applications tied to unified communications. Those you could secure independently of other parts of Layer 5 or Layer 7 in your enterprise.
All right, John, we're halfway there. Let's keep going. Fact or fiction, VoIP, VoIP, is as secure as traditional telephony?
Alas, also fiction. As we've just discussed, VoIP shares the network with the existing data traffic. And so where old-style phone traffic had its own separate network, VoIP is vulnerable to all the same kinds of compromises and attacks that the data network already is vulnerable to. So at that level, more vulnerable automatically. Also, it's important to remember that what we're used to thinking of as phones and as phone switches were specialized pieces of hardware and software that were not connected to the global data network. They were hard to get at, and once you got at them, they had very specific and limited ranges of function. And, you know, there was no way to compromise a phone. There was nothing there to compromise. Now, an IP hard phone is essentially a specialized computer with a really cool user interface that looks like a phone, but it's a computer, and it can be compromised. It runs an operating system. It runs applications on top of it, and it's vulnerable. Likewise, your PBX is now gradually coming to be a server running Windows or running Linux and then running applications on top of that, and so is vulnerable at multiple levels to attacks in ways that it wasn't before.
Okay, moving on. Fact or fiction, placing IP phones on a virtual LAN or VLAN does not eliminate security risks.
Fact. VLANs are not security devices in and of themselves, or not security techniques. They are there to separate and segregate network traffic, not as a security measure, but as a performance and routing measure. You have to use additional security features on your switch, things like port locking, to make sure that segregating traffic across VLANs isn't subverted or compromised by somebody attached to the switch.
John, all things being equal, what are the security benefits of VLANs in terms of IT pros making the decision whether or not to consider putting IP phones on VLANs?
We should absolutely do it. It's just that it's not enough simply to put things on a VLAN. You want to segregate that traffic for a variety of reasons related to management and performance, but just segregating it onto a VLAN does not enhance security completely, or it doesn't represent a complete security solution. It's like, you know, if you're going to the Y, you don't want to leave your wallet sitting out on the bench, so you want to put it in a locker. But if you don't lock the locker, you haven't gained anywhere near as much security as you might from doing that. So likewise, just segregating the traffic, it's like putting the traffic in a locker, but you still have to put a lock on it. And that's where the other security features that are available on switches come into play.
Okay, John, here's the last one. Fact or fiction, eavesdropping and denial of service are the two biggest potential security threats to unified communications infrastructures.
I'm going to call that fiction, just because theft of service is just as real a threat as denial of service and eavesdropping. Denial of service may be easiest because there are so many different layers and devices to attack, and so, you know, so many different avenues by which to attempt a denial of service attack. And eavesdropping is probably the scariest because of the potential for the release of confidential information or the theft of intellectual property or the use of stolen information in identity theft. So that's scariest probably. But theft of services is causing real dollar losses and high ones every day. So you need to pay attention to the possibilities there, as well as to the possibilities for denial of service and eavesdropping.
John Burke of Nemertes Research, thanks so much for joining us today.
Eric, thanks very much for the chance.
For more materials in our Integration of Networking and Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/netsec. That's searchsecurity.com/netsec. And we have many more information security podcasts for you on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. We thank you for listening. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.